Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Hey, just a quick question. If a person disappears, is 10 years too long to file a missing persons report? What's that? Just a chicken sandwich is fine.
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. That woman's getting a little impatient.
I know. There were cars beeping behind you. I heard them, man. You got to get through the drive-thru.
I just had a quick question. I figured I'd ask her. She didn't answer and was rather
John
rude.
Does have a couple really funny drive-through stories that we've talked about on Bless Their Hearts lately. So if you haven't listened to our comedy podcast, go check that out. Some fun drive-through stuff, but I take it that today is not going to be as fun?
No, it's not. This is not going to be a lighthearted episode. In fact, this is a tragic and very sad case. So, yeah, let's get into it.
All right. Mary Day was born on February 19th of 1968 in Little Falls, New York. She was the eldest of three sisters in a household that was full of just really issues. Due to her mother's challenges, Mary and her sisters, whose names were Kathy and Sherry, spent a significant amount of time in foster care. Her mother, Charlotte, eventually divorced their father, whose name was Charles Day, and married a man named William Houle, an Army enlistee. When they got married, this led the family to, like military families often do, relocate many times, including moves to Georgia and Hawaii. During these years, the sisters got separated a lot, and notably, Sherry was adopted by a foster family, which really kind of split the family. And I know you work in foster care, John, and that's families separated due to all kinds of just different circumstances. It's never ideal.
Yeah, it's a tragedy in and of itself, and quite honestly, traumatic. Even to be separated from your siblings is just terrible. But while they were in Hawaii, the family would expand a little bit. The births of Billy, Jeannie, and William Jr. were born. Tragically, during this period, Mary's biological father, Charles, passed away, leaving an inheritance for Mary and Kathy. So the sisters referred to this inheritance as their escape plan, using the code word Mohawk when they would discuss their plans to run away. However, life for their stepfather, William, was fraught with challenges. Mary endured physical abuse, leading to her temporary removal from the household in December of 1980. By 1981, the family had settled in Seaside, California, where Mary was able to rejoin them. But despite the change in locations, tensions persisted, and Mary reportedly attempted to run away multiple times, though these accounts primarily come from her mother, Charlotte.
Around the day of July 15th, 1981, Mary, who's now 13, vanished from her family's seaside home. Strangely, her disappearance went unreported by her parents, leaving a void of information and concern, which is what you mentioned in the drive-thru, John. How long do you wait to report your child missing? We've done cases where the police will tell you you have to wait 24 hours. Largely, that's bull crap, and they're just trying to clear their plate a little bit, as most of those are easily resolved. But in this case, it wasn't until, remember, she disappeared in 1981, July 15th. In the year 1992, her sister Sherry filed a missing persons report at the Fort Ord military base in California.
So it wasn't even her parents or step-parents, it was her sister that called it in.
Yeah, and obviously the lapse in time there created a lot of problems. There's no evidence left. You don't even know where to look or where to start. But Sherry was determined to find her sister. She provided details, a photograph of Mary, sent it to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Kids in 1999. And they were able to create one of the age-progressed images of Mary and what she would look like if she were 31 years old at that time.
So fast forward all the way to 2002. That's when a renewed investigation by the Seaside Police Department brought the case back into focus. Detectives interviewed Mary's family. They uncovered a lot of inconsistencies and, quite frankly, suspicious behavior. There was a cadaver dog that was brought in to search the former residence of the family, and it indicated the possible presence of human remains, which intensified the suspicions. However, the case took an unexpected turn in 2003 when a woman who claimed to be Mary Day was located in Phoenix, Arizona. This individual possessed detailed personal knowledge and familial memories, suggesting that she was indeed Mary. They, of course, did DNA testing, and it later confirmed her identity, though some family members and investigators remained skeptical, noting that there were discrepancies in her accounts, but you can't really fake DNA.
You can't fake DNA, and I hope that all was done above board and thoroughly. After she came back into the light, Mary led a pretty reclusive life. She tried her best to avoid public attention. She ended up passing away in 2017, and that left a lot of lingering questions about how she went missing, the circumstances around her disappearance, and what took her so long to step up and come forward. So this remains a topic of intrigue and debate, especially within her family and her descendants. It's obviously having a missing person in your family is tough, and that's going to create trauma that comes back for generations. But for Mary's family to have her come back but still not get any answers, it's just a very odd scenario.
It is, and it seems like there's a lot more behind the scenes going on than we'll ever really know about. I mean, there's really no logical explanation as to why you would not report a family member missing unless you just did not want police to uncover what was going on in the home.
I know we couldn't find anything in our research, but the cadaver dogs hit on remains. Like, just because Mary came forward doesn't mean that should have stopped. We couldn't find anything about what they ended up finding or if they kept searching, but I think that's something you need to persist with. Maybe it wasn't Mary, but maybe something's going on there.
Heck, and at that point, that could have been a totally different family's problem. You know, maybe they had a loving grandmother who passed away in the home at one point, but who knows? But she was not dead. She was very much alive, only aged 13 when she ran away and disappeared. And her sisters sounded like they did the same thing. They had the escape plan when their inheritance came in and they were gone. And I bet looking back, Sherry and the other sister probably wished they would have just went ahead and took Mary with them.
Yeah, I bet. And it was obviously a tragic case. Glad there was some reconciliation, but still so many questions out there that I'm afraid we'll never have the answer to.
And how often is it that we do a case where a person is missing for that long and then is found alive? Like, that's
incredibly rare.
It's insane.
Incredibly rare. And it is almost miraculous at this point that she was alive and well and able to reconnect. But John, I appreciate you bringing this forward to us. This is certainly an intriguing one. This has been a crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.